Hello, this is Hannah with the Pantograph from April 11th, 2025. We will begin today's reading with the front page article titled Circus Meets Fine Arts. Jack Yingst, Center, and other members of Gamma Phi Circus at Illinois State University rehearse on Wednesday, April 9th, 2025 for this weekend's production of A Journey Through the Fine Arts at CEFCU Arena, 232 West College Avenue, Normal. Showtimes are 7 p.m. Friday and 1 p.m. and 7 p.m. Saturday. There will also be a pre-show children's carnival at noon Saturday for those attending the 1 p.m. show. For tickets, go to goredbirds.com/GAMMAPHI or call 309-438-8000 between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. on Friday. Now to our next article, All In for Wesleyan. Over 2.6 million raised. Campaign has raised over $18 million since 2013 by Olivia Jacobs. Bloomington. Illinois Wesleyan University's annual All In for Wesleyan fundraiser this week netted more than $2.6 million, surpassing its one-day goal of $2.5 million. The theme of Tuesday's campaign was Go All Out, Be All In, and it collected a total of $2,681,542 from 3,301 gifts, the university said. The campaign has raised over $18.4 million since it started in 2013. Year after year, All In for Wesleyan showcases the generous spirit of the Titan community. Donors went all out this year, showing dedication and support for Illinois Wesleyan, ultimately surpassing our fundraising goals, said Val Hawkins, Assistant Vice President for Advancement. We are grateful for each and every contribution, which will make a lasting impact on our students and the future of our university. Several campus events took place throughout the day, including a Kona ice truck, a coffee bar, trivia at Tommy's Restaurant, and a pep rally and balloon drop at the Hanson Student Center. Julia Perez, Assistant Director of Communications at Wesleyan, said in an email the university received several donations through the challenges, including an additional $1 million gift from an anonymous donor, which was unlocked after the university raised $1 million for its most critical funds. Dirk Behrens, a Board of Trustees member and 1987 graduate of the school, also matched gifts made to the parent fund in memory of his father, who would have turned 81 on April 8th, Perez said. Through his generosity, the challenge raised $20,000 for current IWU students who lose a parent to death or have a parent experience a permanent disability, Perez said. An anonymous alumni couple unlocked an additional $30,000 for the Wesleyan Fund after $30,000 was raised, contributing to the final $456,454 raised for the Wesleyan Fund, which will have an immediate and meaningful impact on every student. Those still interested in supporting the campaign can do so at iwu.edu/giving online. A full list of challenges and totals raised can be viewed at this following website, advance.iwu.edu/portal/all-in. Our next article is on page A2, titled Two to Close Storefronts Downtown by Caitlin Klepek, Bloomington. Two downtown Bloomington businesses have announced they will close their storefronts after several years in business in the area. Neighborhood Thrift, a family-owned store that sells new, gently used and vintage furniture and antiques in downtown Bloomington, has announced it is closing its storefront at 406 North Main Street, effective Saturday. The owners announced Wednesday on Facebook the store will close after 15 years in business. The store will remain open each day until Saturday from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. This was not an easy decision to make. We are incredibly grateful for your support, loyalty, and love over the years, The owners Drew, Angela, and Lucy Barrett wrote in a Facebook post. The family plans to continue using Facebook and eBay pages for neighborhood thrift and suggest customers check facebook.com/neighbor.thrift for future announcements. After 9 years in business, our favorite things boutique, 312 North Main Street, announced in late March it will close its storefront as well. The store, which was previously in Normal, relocated to downtown Bloomington in summer 2023. Our favorite things will remain open until May 3rd, according to a Facebook post from the owners. The boutique is known for selling vintage items, including furniture, jewelry, and repurposed vintage, as well as items from local artists. This decision was not made lightly, the owners said in the Facebook post. In August, we experienced a noticeable slowdown in sales, and while we were hoping that things would pick up after the election season, the economic challenges and tightening spending have remained. Although our favorite things boutique storefront will be closing, the owners, Shayna Brownlee and Kathleen Stuntz, said this is far from goodbye as they plan to continue online sales and attending events. The owners said customers should continue checking the boutique at ourfavoritethingsboutique.com and the shop's social media for updates. The next article is titled, The Chainsmokers to Play State Fair, Springfield. The Chainsmokers will headline the Illinois State Fair Grandstand on Friday, August 15th. The duo, which debuted in 2013, is Grammy Award-winning and RIAA Diamond Certified, and is known for its fusion of pop, indie, electric, alternative, and rock genres. Hit songs include Closer, Something Just Like This, Don't Let Me Down, and Don't Lie. Their debut album, Memories Do Not Open, went number one on the Billboard 200 chart, followed by Sick Boy, World War Joy, and So Far So Good, which was their fourth album to go number one on the Billboard Top Dance Electronic Albums chart, according to a news release. Last year, the duo released No Hard Feelings, which peaked at number nine on Billboard's dance album charts. The Chainsmokers recently returned to their progressive house roots and acclaimed remixes exclusively through SoundCloud, the news release said. Tickets for the show go on sale at 10 a.m. Saturday, April 12th, via Ticketmaster. Ticket prices will range from $85 to $150. As an upgrade, $30 pre-show party tickets are available. The Illinois State Fair will run August 7th through August 17th at the Illinois State Fairgrounds in Springfield. Other headliners announced so far include The Black Crowes on August 9th, Megan Maroney on August 10th, Sheryl Crow on August 11th, Snoop Dogg on August 13th, Brad Paisley on August 14th, Def Leppard on August 16th, and the Turnpike Troubadours on August 17th. More acts are to be announced. Man in Auto Theft Ring Pleads Guilty on Page A2 by Caitlin Klepek, Bloomington. The last Texas man of the five who were accused in 2023 of bringing a multi-state auto theft ring to McLean County has pled guilty. Jesus Arriaga, 38, of Sugarland, Texas, appeared Tuesday before Judge Jason Chambers for a pretrial hearing, during which he submitted his guilty plea. Initially, Arriaga was charged with 7 Class 1 felonies for aggregated unlawful possession of a stolen motor vehicle. He pled guilty Tuesday to one count, and as a part of his plea agreement, the prosecution dismissed the remainder of his charges. Arriaga was sentenced to 4 years in prison, with credit for 563 days already served, to be followed by 1 year of mandatory supervised release. Arriaga and 4 others were accused of moving stolen vehicles from city to city across state lines with noted connections to Texas, Washington, Wisconsin, North Carolina, Colorado, Nebraska, Florida, Georgia, and Illinois. 4 men from Texas were also charged with 7 counts of aggravated unlawful possession of a stolen motor vehicle. Prosecutors say the following defendants have varying levels of involvement in the theft ring. Carlos G. Guzman Toledo, 49, of Houston. Henry L. Gomez, 42, of Houston. Anthony W. Gomez, 36, of Dallas. and Giovanni M. Alvarez, 23, of Sugarland. They each faced 7 counts of aggravated unlawful possession of a stolen motor vehicle, all Class 1 felonies. Anthony Gomez Gomez was the only of the men to be released after his initial court appearance. He was also the only defendant not found in possession of fraudulent IDs, prosecutors said. His case was dismissed by the state last year. Henry Gomez Gomez, Alvarez, and Guzman Toledo each pled guilty to 1 count last year. Alvarez, who pled guilty in January 2024, and Guzman Toledo, who pled guilty in July 2024, were each sentenced to 4 years in prison to be followed by 1 year of mandatory supervised release. Henry Gomez Gomez, who pled guilty in March 2024 to 1 count, was sentenced in September to 8 years in prison to be followed by 1 year of mandatory supervised release. Assistant State Attorney Spencer Chicahisa represented the prosecution in Arriaga's case, and attorney Richard Fenbert of Chicago represented Arriaga. Fenbert was unable to be reached for comment. Our next article is titled Names and Faces, Student Named FFA Top 10 Section President, Bloomington. 10 students were recently named Illinois FFA Top 10 Section Presidents in recognition of excelling in their roles as section presidents. Winners will be recognized during the 2025 Illinois FFA State Convention set for June 10th through June 12th in Springfield. One of those students will be Cadence Woodton, Section 16 of DeWitt County. Top section presidents are also invited to attend the Premier 20 Leadership Conference set for April 28th through 29th in Bloomington. The conference is an opportunity for youth in agriculture, including FFA and 4-H, to cultivate leadership and professional development skills, according to a news release. Young at Heartland sets Spring Play winners by Caitlin Klepek. Normal. Young at Heartland has announced the winners for the 2025 Spring Play competition, including 4 winners from Bloomington Normal. The winners are Cappuccino by Jordan R. Young of Orange County, College Hunk Movers by Les Abramovitz of Boca Raton, Florida, Jumping Jack Flash by John F. Back of New York, Just a Suggestion by Deb Bomley of Bloomington, Mary Payson in the Case of the Speedy Speedo by Steve Gossard of Bloomington, Puzzling by Dagny Waldron of Lancaster, Virginia, The Rummage Sale by Diane Kirshner of Brooklyn, New York, Salty Dog by Devin Lovell of Bloomington, Pizza Pizza by Bruce Beck of Normal. The showcase performances will be held at 7:30 p.m. June 25th and 2 p.m. June 27th, directed by Rich Tingalia, Terry Weisenhunt, and Sandra Zelensky. Our next story is titled Organ Recipient Shares Story by Matthias Janik on page A3. Normal. Megan Hand has been able to experience both sides of organ and tissue donation, from being the stepmom of a tissue donor to being an organ transplant recipient herself. If you've ever met somebody that you've thought, only them, things could only happen to them this way, it's me, said Hand of East Peoria. Hand shared her story Wednesday during a flag-raising ceremony for the National Donate Life Month at Carl Broman Medical Center, at 1304 Franklin Ave, Normal. Hand, 45, was a senior in high school in 1998 when she eagerly tried to donate blood, but was deferred because her liver enzymes were elevated, she said. Follow-up testing and a biopsy resulted in her diagnosis of primary biliary cirrhosis, a chronic and autoimmune disease that damaged and corroded the bile ducts in her liver. For the first 10 years after her diagnosis, she felt fine and was on medication to slow the disease's progression. But over time, she began to experience brain fog, fluid retention, shortness of breath, leg cramps, and fatigue. Despite every symptom, despite every test that would come back saying I was getting worse, I refused to allow my disease to get in the way and run my life for me, Hand said. For me, it was not going to define who I was or how I lived. In October 2021, Hand was referred to Loyola University Medical Center in Chicago for a liver transplant evaluation and was placed on a waiting list the following month. On April 20, 2022, Hand's stepson, Aiden Campbell, 19, sustained a traumatic brain injury during a vehicle crash and needed to be put on life support. He died 5 days later on April 25th. He had previously signed up to be an organ and tissue donor and was able to donate tissue to 15 people in the United States and internationally. He wanted to fix everything, Hand said of Aiden. He wanted to fix people's cars, mechanical devices, people's lives, and 6 months later, he did just that. In August 2022, Hand received a call that a liver was available for her. I remember just having so many mixed emotions, guilt, excitement, anxiety, empathy, compassion, so many things, Hand said. I'll never be able to actually explain what I experienced that day, but knowing that someone else was going to go through something I had experienced made the experience that much more close to my heart. In 2024, Carl Broman had two organ donors who saved five lives, according to a hospital statement. In addition, 14 tissue donors enhanced numerous lives. Harry Wilkins, president and CEO of Gift of Hope, said the organization's network service area encompasses the northern three quarters of Illinois and parts of Indiana. In that area, they have 180 hospitals working to coordinate organ and tissue donations with partner agencies like coroner's offices, funeral homes, nursing homes, law agencies, and other hospitals. Carl Broman is one of those hospitals, Wilkins said. No one in my mind can tell the story of a donation better than a donor family or a grateful recipient. And today we're very lucky to hear from a donor stepmom and a donor recipient that's the same person. Carl recognizes National Donate Life Month each April with a ceremony in raising the Gift of Hope flag. Over 24 people attended Wednesday's ceremony, which included the Hand family and families of other organ donors, as well as hospital staff, caregivers, and administrators. Colleen Canaday, president of Carl Broman, said it's important to call attention to the need for organ and tissue donation and to share stories like Hand's. I would say for all of us making the decision to be organ donors, I believe there's nothing more important and nothing more selfless we can do than to sign on to be organ donors and to really give, Canaday said. Canaday said from a healthcare perspective and for donors and their families, the decision to donate is often difficult and emotional, but it's also an impactful part of the healing process. Shelley Yoder, nurse manager of the intensive care and cardiovascular care units in the outpatient pulmonology office at Carl Broman, urged people to take the time to consider registering their intent to be an organ donor. She added that flying the Gift of Hope flag is a beacon of hope and a reminder that there are compassionate and caring individuals willing to say yes to organ and tissue donation, to reach through their grief to help someone in need of a life-saving transplant. As we grieve for those lives taken too soon, today we are reminded that all donors will continue to live on in this world, not only in the hearts and minds of those they knew and loved, but in the quiet and reflective gratitude of complete strangers, Yoder said. We hope and pray these gifts will make the lives of others a blessing every day. Report: Hate Incidents on the Rise by Brendan Moore, Springfield. Hate incidents are on the rise in Illinois, and no corner of the state is spared, according to a new report from the Anti-Defamation League. The report, released Wednesday, found more than 1,000 documented hate incidents in Illinois over the past 5 years. More than 24 Illinois counties had at least 6 hate incidents in that span, including Coles, Macon, McLean, and Rock Island counties. 28 counties reported up to 5 incidents, while there were none documented in 48 lightly populated counties, including Ford, DeWitt, Piatt, Moultrie, Shelby, Christian, Whiteside, and Knox. The numbers cover a wide range of incidents, from hate crimes to extremist activity to intimidation to hate group leafleting aimed at immigrant, Black, Jewish, Muslim, LGBTQ, and other communities. About 56% of the reported incidents involved white supremacist propaganda. These are the raw numbers of the incidents reported, and they really tell us three things. First, extremism is widespread and growing in Illinois, said ADL Midwest Regional Director David Goldenberg. Second, the people affected by each incident, the targeted victim, the victim's neighbors, and the community for which the victim was targeted, all suffer the impact of extremism. The impact is devastating. And third, Illinois has a reporting problem when it comes to hate and extremism. The ADL's report said that in Illinois, FBI hate crimes increased from 98 in 2021 to 347 in 2023. ADL anti-Semitism audits reported 46 incidents in 2020 and 209 in 2023, the report said. Goldenberg and members of the group, which was founded in 1913 to combat anti-Semitism and other forms of bigotry and hate, discussed the findings in a state capitol press conference before meeting with state legislators to discuss solutions to the problems. With county-specific examples, the report is a window into the way extremism shows up both statewide and in local communities. In McLean County, for instance, an unknown person or group distributed a flyer in Leroy that read "White Lives Matter" at the top and condemned queer sex and race mixing. Elsewhere, an African-American family received promotional materials from the Ku Klux Klan, the report said. In Macon County, a Jewish man was targeted with mailed pamphlets from the American Nazi Party and a group known as the White Alliance, according to the report. In Coles County, there were 14 incidents of white nationalist propaganda from groups like Goyim Defense League, New Jersey European Heritage Association, and KKK group Old Glory Knights, the report said. In Rock Island County, neo-Nazi group National Alliance distributed propaganda in a Moline neighborhood that called for racial distancing, according to the report. There were several other county-specific examples referenced. Hate speech is the price that we pay to live in our democracy, Goldberg said. It is protected by the First Amendment. However, when we see individuals being targeted because of their race, their religion, their nationality, their immigration status, and flyers are being dropped off at their homes or on private property, that is clearly when it crosses the wire. The group is supporting a series of legislative measures to address the rise in hate incidents. House Bill 3023, sponsored by State Representative Dave Vella, Democrat of Rockford, would grant a person the right to sue and cover damages if threatened or intimidated by intentionally threatening leafletting or the false reporting of a violent crime. The legislation passed out of a House committee in March, but has not yet been voted on in the full chamber. The group is also supporting House Bill 40, sponsored by State Representative Bob Morgan, Democrat of Highland Park, which would require state law enforcement officers to receive training in crimes motivated by bias. It is not moved from the Gatekeeping House Rules Committee. The ADL is also calling for the creation of a statewide strategy to address the rise of hate and extremism and better coordination among law enforcement to track and respond to threats. Pritzker's classroom cell phone ban okayed by Illinois State Senate, on page A4. Springfield. A bill that would ban cell phones in classroom sailed through the Illinois Senate on Wednesday, bringing one of Governor J.B. Pritzker's top legislative priorities this session one step closer to reality. The legislation, sponsored by Senator Christina Castro, Democrat of Elgin, would require Illinois school districts by the start of the 2026-27 school year to enact policies barring the use of cell phones, laptops, tablets, and other wireless communication devices during classroom instruction time. The ban would not extend to school-issued devices and is not bell-to-bell, meaning cell phone use would still be permitted during lunch, recess, and passing periods. It passed out of the Illinois Senate with no opposition. This is setting the floor, not the ceiling, Castro said. Students need to focus on what's going on in the classroom, she added. We want to help them be successful. Let's get the distracting devices out of their hands and have their noses in those books. Pritzker called for a classroom cell phone ban during his combined budget and state of the state address in February, identifying the handheld devices as an impediment to student learning. If the bill reaches Pritzker's desk, Illinois would join California, Florida, Indiana, Louisiana, Minnesota, Ohio, South Carolina, and Virginia, which have already passed some variation of a cell phone ban. Several other states are also considering restrictions on the devices. It's long overdue, the challenges that teachers have when they're competing in the classroom with cell phones. It makes it very difficult for teachers to teach, and that's what we want them to do, said State Senator Sue Rezin, Republican of Morris. The legislation now heads to the Illinois House. Today's Flick Fact. True or false, there's a 1955 Ford Custom Line sitting on the roof of a bar near Wapella, supposedly placed there by a tornado in 1968? Answer, true. Except the tornado part. While local legends vary, the most accepted story is this. After a 1968 tornado destroyed the cupola atop a barn, Clyde Leggett, upset that a local dealer lowballed him on the car's value, declared, "Well, I might as well just put it on the barn for all to see." With help from a friend in a crane, that's exactly what he did. We're going to take a short break now and return with the second half of the Pantograph from April 11th, 2025. Please stay tuned.